We will read there from verse 9 up until verse 17 of Colossians 3. But let's just pray again. Our Father in heaven, please bless the word as it comes to us now, that we might be changed and that we might glorify you and live for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we read there from verse 9 up until verse 17 of Colossians 3. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So far from the Word of God. We are going to look this morning specifically at verse 16, which says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We are specifically going to look at the first part of Colossians 3, verses 16, which says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, everybody has a rule according to which he lives. Everybody has a rule. Sometimes a combination of rules or principles according to which you live. Some people live for their children. Some people live for their families. Some people live for their country even, or for their community. Some people live to become very educated. Some people live for money. Some people live for the fear of man. So this is a rule some people, and often we as well, we have these principles according to what we live that drive our thinking. It drives our thinking, it drives our feelings, and it eventually drives our behavior. In verse 16 of Colossians 3, the Holy Spirit gives us the rule that should drive our lives. In Colossians 3, up until verse 15, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, has admonished the Colossians and the Christians through the ages according to the works they must put on and the works they must put off. You've probably read there in verse 9, it says, don't lie to one another. Then, for example, you have in verse 12, it says, put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And then in verse 14, it says, above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And so he has told, and he's spoken about many things that we must put off, that we must lay down, and a lot of things that we must put on onto ourselves, because we are a new creation. Christians are new creations. And we saw that in verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10 of Colossians 3, And you can look there again with me. It says there, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. The old man has been put off. It has been crucified when you were renewed, when you got saved, and have put on the new self. Verse 10. And that's the new creation. And this new creation is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. After its creator. So based on that fact, that Christians are new creations, we need to put off stuff and we need to put on new stuff, new work, new works, works that fits this new man. Now, Paul could have continued like this for another chapter or even another book or even the whole Bible length of all these works we need to put on and put off. But he decided there and then that he's going to give us this one rule. This one rule. And this is Colossians 3 verses 16, which says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Then you will know which virtues to put on and which vices to put off. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. When we often hear the word let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I usually think like that, but hopefully I'm also changing in my thinking. But when we hear the word let often, we think it's an option. Let the word dwell richly in you. It's a suggestion. It's a good thing to do, is to let the word of Christ dwell in you. You have the option to do it. But this is not what this word let means. In the original Greek, it is an imperative. It's a command. It's not an option. It's not just a good thing if the word of Christ dwells in you. It's a must. It is of vital importance. The text is actually saying, if you want to translate it in maybe a better command or a more clear command, it would say the word of Christ must dwell in you richly. Because if that is what's going to happen, you will know how to live for God. You will know which vices to put off and which virtues, which good works to put on. But it's only if the word of Christ dwells in you. There's no negotiation. There's no choice. The word of God must dwell in you richly. It is extremely important. It is necessary. It's a life and death situation. It is very important that the word of Christ dwells in us richly. And now you can ask, what is this word of Christ that must dwell in us richly? Because we know it's very important. It's a command. Now, there are two things to this word of God that we must understand. The first thing is that it is the gospel. The word of Christ is the gospel. When Christ came, he says there in Luke 4 verses 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. So the word that came from Christ is this good news, is the gospel. Is that sinners can be united or can be reconciled to God again. There is a Savior. There is wrath of God on everybody until they believe on Christ and accept Jesus as their Savior. That's the word that comes from God. That's the word of Christ. But the second part or the second way we understand the word of Christ is it is the Bible. It is the word of God that became flesh. And it's he that has spoken the word, and that is Christ himself through the Spirit. And that is why 2 Peter 1 verses 21 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. Nothing in the Bible we read was because of the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So, when you look at the scriptures, this is the word of Christ. This is the word of God. And now it's just not just the word of God and it's just this, these facts or interesting facts about the history. This word of Christ that we have in our hands, that must dwell in us, this scriptures speak of Christ. Every part, every page of the Bible speak of Christ. That is why to the Pharisees, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me." So whenever we hear a sermon, whenever we read the Bible, we must always ask, what is this text telling me about Jesus? Always. Everything talks about Jesus. So what must dwell in us according to this verse? It's not just one text verse. It's not just one chapter. It's not just one thought. It's not just one text. It is the whole and entire word of Christ should dwell in us. Dwell. It must dwell in us. The word of Christ must dwell in us richly. Dwell means living. It means staying there. This dwell doesn't mean the word of Christ is setting up camp within us, next to us, in our heads, and the next day it's broken down the camp and it's going away again. No, it's dwelling in us. It's living in us. It should be living in us. But if we are just reading a verse here and there and now and then we think about the word, then the word is far. It's not dwelling in us. Then the word is an addition to my life. Then Christ, because Christ is the word, then Christ is just an add-on. Then the Christian life, the Bible, is just a nice Christian sauce. It's like a sauce you pour over your food. It's just a sauce that makes this food look better. Then the Bible is only this good thing we do so that we can be accepted by people and look good. Then I become a better person because I read the Bible. Because it's a good thing to read the Bible, isn't it? But what this text is saying is not just a good thing to read the Bible, to know the Bible, to know Christ, to know the scriptures. It is necessary, important that this word of Christ doesn't set up camp in our minds and break down the next day. But it's this word of Christ must dwell in us richly. Have you neglected the study of God's word? Have you lost enthusiasm? Have you lost enthusiasm? Be reminded of what Christ did. That's the only way you will be enthusiastic about the Bible. Be reminded that God Himself became man to save us, to put our sin on Him. Every time we sin, we think Christ died for that sin. Whenever we're not enthusiastic about the Word, we're not enthusiastic about Christ, because the Word is Christ. And then what happens then is we have this unbelief. Because be reminded of what Christ came to do. Be reminded, he was promised in Genesis 3, verses 15, he would come to crush the Satan's head. And that story runs through the Bible. And God did send his son to come and crush the Satan's head to save sinners. We're not under the wrath of God if you believe. If you believe on Christ, then you're not under the wrath of God. And that's why Jesus also says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. It's just Christ, the word from Christ, the gospel, and this word that's in this Bible we have that will give you rest, eternal rest. One of the important verses, and I'm going to ask you to turn to that, is 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 to 17, with regards to the Word of God, the Scriptures, and how important it is. It's found in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. But we will read from 14, because I want to also highlight something in verses 15. And it says there, but as for you, because Paul is speaking to Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, because Paul taught Timothy, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So in Scripture, in the Word of Christ, there's the saving knowledge. This is important. Saving knowledge. Then, from verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. The Word of God doesn't just teach us how to be saved. It equips us for every good word, every good work. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, because that will give you the fuel also to live godly lives. This saving knowledge that is in the Word, this important Word of God, because we realize this is a vital, important message that we find in the Word of God that caused us to be saved, to be called children of God. We must drink in this good news. Drink it in. We must feed on this good news. Because this is the good news that saved us. This is the good news also that will drive us for godly living. That's why 2 Timothy 3 verses 17 says, it equips us for every good work. So the Word of God is a good work, is a good word, it's a perfect word. And for that reason, the Word of God shouldn't dwell far from us. It can't dwell far from us. It can't just be an add-on. It can't just be a thought. But it must dwell in us. It must dwell in us. Because it's of vital importance. You know, when you live in a house and somebody walks past your house and you're not there, and you probably have experienced this as well, you look at the house and you see that person I know is living in that house. Now, the question to us is, if family comes to us, if friends comes to us, if even children, our children come to us, do they say, I see this man, I see this husband, I see this person, and the word of Christ is dwelling there. The word of Christ is living there. Do they associate the word of God with us? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. It's this word of God that brings life. It gives light to our understanding. It transforms our lives. How can we neglect it? How can we neglect it? Now, the word of God can't just set up camp in us. It must dwell in us. We should meditate on the word. We should memorize verses. We should talk about the word. We should bleed the word. We should bleed the word. And that's why the verse says, the word of God, the word of Christ must dwell in you richly. Richly. It's not just dwell, it's dwell richly. It's very important. We need it. We need it daily. And how can we cause it to dwell in us richly? We must sit under preaching the audible word of God. We must sit under preaching every Sunday. If you can, twice a Sunday, sit under the word of God. Hear what he says. The sacraments. Use the sacraments because that's the visible word. The preaching is the audible word. The sacraments is the visible word. Use the sacraments. Do daily family devotions. Daily family devotions. Sing the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Because if you looked at that verse, Colossians 3, verses 16, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, admonishing each other by singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Do that. Do that. Sing. Read the scriptures morning and evening and pray and ask God that this word of him will dwell in me richly. Will dwell in me richly. Because when that happens, we will be transformed. We will know, we will have the wisdom in difficult situations. What to decide. How to think about the political situation. How to think about news that comes our way. But someone may ask, yo, to study the word daily and to feed so much on the word, isn't that a bit far-fetched? Well, is it far-fetched to drink 6 glasses of water a day? Is it far-fetched to eat 3 meals a day? Is it far-fetched to know that our minds must be renewed? Our minds, because of sin, needs to be renewed. Our minds are marred. We don't understand. We need the word of Christ. We won't inform our minds. We won't. We can't. It's impossible. We need the word of God. We don't need the family. We don't need the news to inform our mind to live for Christ. We need the word of God. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask, God, give us our daily bread. We ask him, God, please give us our daily bread. We ask that. Matthew 4, verses 4, when Jesus is tempted by the Satan. At one stage he said to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we ask God daily, God, please give us our daily bread. How much more when we don't live from bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God, how much more do we need the word of God daily? We need the word of God. In times of persecution, in times of uncertainty, as if we don't know what's going to happen in the economy, in the politics, if we want to know how should we determine to which person to marry, how should we educate our children, where will we find it? In the Word of God. And we don't know where to go. What should we do? Go do your personal and family devotions. Daily. We ask daily for the bread. At least we must ask daily that the Word of Christ must dwell richly in us. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your word. Thankful that you have showed us Jesus in your word, that he has saved us, brought us into your family, that you have also given us your word, that we can feed on your word now, because that is also the fuel for now and eternal life. And will you give us this enthusiasm for your word as we think of Christ and what he did on the cross, so that we will be people that are known as people in which the word of Christ dwells richly. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.